outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Monday, January the 26th, 2026, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, the Man of Steel. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks. Not when our enemies have sworn themselves to our utter destruction. Don't wish them well. We wish them absolute failure in that regard because we want to go on living, want to go on thriving and occupying and building civilizations here on this blessed planet of the Gentiles. We were actually with you just about 24 hours ago, folks. Stas and I, we did a program, and I just didn't feel good about it on my end. I couldn't connect all of the dots the way that I wanted to in order to make the case that we were making. And as it turned out, it was a good thing that we didn't go with that program, because within microseconds of ending the program, I received an email from one of the listeners with a very interesting video attached to it dealing with the shooting in Minneapolis. We had put the program together dealing with that, folks, and where we had gone with it was to suggest that possibly the shooting of the ICU nurse in Minneapolis, that this may have been a foreign intelligence operation, okay? Because clearly right now, if there's anybody who is as happy as a hog in slop, it's Benjamin Netanyahu over what is happening here in the United States and what could very well be the embryonic stages of a civil war here that would keep President Trump buried and just so busy dealing with domestic affairs that he couldn't involve himself in the important affairs going on in places such as Gaza and Syria and Iran and other places such as that. Anyway, this video that I had been sent had some very interesting footage on it. And only because of the fact, folks, that I am well-versed with firearms, I could see that the arguments that were being made in this video held water, one of which is that it appears now, based upon the evidence, that what happened is that this firearm that the protester had on him, it went off as one of the ICE agents was taking it away to secure it. And as a result of this firearm inadvertently going off, the other ICE agents, they freaked out. And that's when they shot the, I think his name is Freddie. So folks, the fact of the matter is that indeed this particular handgun that they had recovered does have a very well-established history of going off without being dropped, without having a finger on the trigger, nothing. It's a serious design flaw that they have discovered in this particular model of the Sig Sauer handgun. And so the argument holds water that What happened is that as the ICE agent was taking the handgun away in order to secure it, it went off, and this is what caused the ICE agents to freak out and to shoot the suspect, unfortunately. Anyway, folks, the way where we had gone with the program yesterday was to argue that this was possibly an intelligence operation run out of Israel in order to basically set the country on fire here, folks, as I said, so that the president did not have the energy or the enthusiasm to involve himself in ending the wars in the Middle East or Ukraine because his own country is burning down. And I'm not saying that it wasn't, folks. What I'm saying is that at this particular moment, it appears as though, just like the previous killing in Minneapolis with the young woman, that it was a case of ramped up emotions and people fearing for their lives. And for perfectly understandable reasons, they did what they felt they had to do in order to keep from being killed. Now, folks, even though we're not willing to say that at this point that what happened in Minneapolis with this most recent killing, even though we're not willing at this point to say that it was an intelligence operation, that doesn't mean that what is taking place in Minneapolis with these protests is not an intelligence operation being run by a foreign government. Okay? On the program yesterday, I asked our good friend Stas, I said, Stas, imagine that you're a bug on the wall in the office of the Prime Minister of Israel, and seated in that office are all of his important cabinet members, such as Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and all of the rest of them, all of these terrible, violent religious terrorists. I said, imagine what the mood must be in that office as they are discussing this shooting that has just taken place. They couldn't be happier, folks. They couldn't be happier that this has happening, because now an opening has been created for pouring gasoline on that fire and keeping the president boxed in and tied up, jammed up, preoccupied, and all of the other adjectives that we could come up with. At the exact moment, folks, that the president is launching his Board of Peace and that they're going to be beginning the process now of cleaning up the apocalyptic mess that the Jews have made in Gaza, with rebuilding it and rebuilding whatever is left of the lives of the people there. So make no mistake about it, folks. The one person in the world who couldn't be happier about the events taking place in Minneapolis is Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, in further outlining this narrative, this thesis, this question, keep in mind something else, folks. All right, there is not... of the, I think, 16 or 18 intelligence services working for the United States government, there isn't one of them, all the way at the top with the CIA, all the way at the bottom with Border Patrol, that does not have an Israeli mole in there, okay? As I said yesterday on the program, I've been rereading Viktor Strofsky's two excellent books, which I cannot recommend strongly enough. The first one, By Way of Deception, details his time, 7 years, I believe, he spent as a Mossad Katza, is what they're called, a case agent. And then the other book is The Other Side of Deception. Now, the first book, folks, By Way of Deception, this was published in 1990, so 36 years ago. And it detailed things that Strofsky had either done or he had been well acquainted with that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, before the publication of the book. So we're talking about 36 years at a minimum, maybe as much as 50 or 60 years going back. And as you're reading these accounts of what Israel's intelligence services did way back then, folks, it leaves your head spinning at how efficient and how good they are at penetrating all sides, especially two sides that are fighting against each other. There's one story in there where he talks about how he was, that the Mossad was training the Tamil Tigers, okay, in their war of liberation, and how they were also at the same time training the government security forces that were fighting these rebels. They had them both at the same base at the same time, kept them apart from each other so they couldn't see each other. But nevertheless, folks, it's mind-boggling to consider how efficient Israel's intelligence services are, how good they were way back then. So you can just imagine what they're like now. Therefore, folks, the notion that they do not have moles and spies and operatives in all of the intelligence services, law enforcement services, within the U.S. government, all the way up from the CIA down to Border Patrol, including some of these ICE agents on the ground, is just simply not possible. Okay, Israel makes sure that they maintain a state of total informational awareness, that they know everything that there is to know about everyone, friend or foe, so that they, well, folks, once you understand the battlefield in front of you, once you understand the chessboard in front of you, it makes victory all that more predictable. So, folks, I'm not going to make any predictions here, but given that Benjamin Netanyahu and his government have everything to gain and nothing to lose by more shootings and more killings taking place on the part of the U.S. government, we cannot assume for a second that Mossad hasn't already given orders to various people throughout the United States here who are involved in these protests. And anybody who thinks that Netanyahu is not involved in these protests, folks, please, please. The fact that they're a bunch of leftists, that they're woke, that they're pro-Palestinian, it doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter. The Jews will use whatever tools they have in their toolbox, even if they don't like the tool. Okay. If it will get them what they want, in this case, creating enormous domestic political pressure against the president in order to distract him from what he's trying to do in boxing in Israel and preventing her from setting the entire world on fire, yeah, we can all rest assured, folks, that in these protesters, somewhere, buried somewhere in there, there is somebody who is reporting back to Israel, back to Mossad, and getting orders on what to do next. So, having said that, folks, we're not going to delve a whole lot into what has just taken place in Minneapolis. We've got other equally, if not more important, things to talk about. But on that note, I am going to bring up our very good friend and special guest host, Stas, to ask him what he thinks about what we just laid out here on the program and whether or not Benjamin Netanyahu is happy as a hog in slop over the instability that is taking place here in the United States over these ICE arrests. Stas, are you with us?
Oh yeah, this event in Minneapolis, Minnesota, United States of America is a great gift or a forced gift. Oh, let's say the Prime Minister is shopping for a gift for himself. There's so many reasons why he's happy about this, not the least of which is the battle to remove Donald J. Trump as president. Right there. also, right now we're going to bat again in Iran. Will we attack or not attack point 2.0?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's my job to report on the pundits.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't listen to that stuff. So I've perused as much as I could, and I am disappointed. I had liked the work of a lot of people out there, but virtually everybody that I can think of has moved into the Trump is compromised, and he's going in. I can't tell you how many names the name of Marion Adelson has come up. Marion Adelson, wife of gambling expert.
Oh, her. The one that Trump mentioned in that speech where he basically accused her of being a dual loyalist. Actually,
yes.
A single loyalist, that her loyalty was to Israel and not to the United States. Yeah.
And I got to say it, your excellent introduction, now we're getting down to it. You said something that is the nature of, because these have, this is the spy wars, you know, we've been on this,
mm-hmm.
we've been on spy wars, and you just said, you cannot tell. You could swear that somebody is, a dyed-in-the-wool, Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protester,
mm-hmm.
and they are not. They are working for
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it goes without saying, there are plenty of informants within ICE, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the general gist of the ICE group is MAGA,
mm-hmm.
and is working for the president, and they're working under hard conditions. And another gift to Prime Minister Netanyahu is there's people in America that feel it is their duty to hurl their bodies at ICE or protest them. And there are massive organizations. In fact, the same interviewer that you had referenced, that you're going to talk about more about the gentleman's weapon discharging and so forth. He had another story after that of how there's massive group of people have in signal chats instructing people where to go to interfere with ICE and
mm-hmm.
and do that. So there you've got people that are either knowingly working for the Israeli intelligence or they do not know that they are working for
mm-hmm.
them. And
mm-hmm.
they are obsessed with freedom and diversity, and they're against Trump, who they see as a pro-nativist and a MAGA or whatever, or they see that, and they're kind of wrong about that too. I think he's on board with securing the borders, but they're labeling him as a racist. And anyway, I'm getting off topic, but so there's these groups of people, and of course we go on Tut here and we talk about how the ridiculousness of the Sandy Hook thing and mass people and they're still alive and all that. I don't want to go down that hole again, but what I'm saying is they're opening up opportunities to also make it look natural for them for people to
mm-hmm.
get killed by ICE and
mm-hmm.
Cause problems for the president, because at the same time we've got one of the most cherished goals of the state of Israel to topple Iran. Now it's looking like the first topple Iran and put the Shah's son in, and then probably later on kill everybody there. Because we go farther than other commentaries. I'll just say that. So that's what I think now. So they'll be very happy to change the regime, but I think later on, they'll have designs and taking the whole place down. But the first step is first step. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Amada's going there to destroy Iran. One of the most powerful things on Earth is these carrier strike groups. I mean, they got the capability.
Yep.
They can't really single-handedly win a war with a formidable opponent like Ram, but they can ruin the place. You know,
sure.
I'm talking about every city. You know, just light it up, and Tehran is just what these guys would believe refer to as like target rich. You know,
mm-hmm.
But really. So once they remove the air defenses, which even though some of the pundits are saying, well, they're Russian and Chinese ones. I'm kind of keen on military stuff. I think the Americans can eliminate it, and that's what they want to do. But what if, as we discussed before, that mm-hmm. formidable carrier strike group is to prevent another party
yes.
from going in and doing Rising Lion Part 2 themselves?
Exactly.
Everybody thinks Trump is a slave to Marion Adelson, which is, and this is no joke. I've heard every one of these people with so many credentials, so much experience, just repeat that over and over. And I think it comes, the top of it is Max Blumenthal, and he's got that, and all these guys are copying him because that guy knows a lot. So they follow what he's saying. I forgot to tell you this, but...
Wait a minute. Is this something that I don't want to hear?
No.
Is this going to upset me?
This will not upset you. This is pretty good. I take this as something very interesting. So, former attorney and U.S. State Representative Matt Gaetz, who was who really should have been the Attorney General now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he rocks. He rocks.
I'm not a fan of Pam Bondi. I'm a fan of him. But he was on One America News, so that guy had to be careful. Matt had to be careful. He's on with Max Blumenthal there. Max Blumenthal comes on, and the title of the video, and I admit, I listened to Liberty Vault, a breakdown of it. Max Blumenthal blasts Trump for playing Netanyahu's game in Iran. So they're going at it, and Max, you know, he's knowledgeable, but he goes into the Marion Adelson thing. And this is very interesting to me, because if you guys check this out, Matt Gaetz pushes back a little bit on Max Blumenthal, which I got to say right here, about time somebody has kind of questioned this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Matt Gaetz is saying, well, no, I don't. He's sort of implying that, and he's got to be careful. He's on Run American News. He's basically overall implying that Mr. Trump, President Trump, does not want to destroy Iran and do regime change. Is basically what I'm saying. If you read through the lines, he does say something interesting, which I thought was interesting. That is I hope doesn't go too far off topic to explore. He's like, well, the president might be interested in, you know, reinstalling some figures in the government there. Now, I didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's permissible, I'd just say, could this be the level that Trump is interested in removing some traitors to Iran that are also his enemy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's things like that. So this is what we're dealing here. So people are going on and they're saying these extreme thing. One of that Trump is dirty. When we know, you know, I've been disappointed in some of Colonel McGregor's complete attacks on President Trump, but he did say the main thing that I know President Donald J. Trump is against war. So we've always got to go back to that. This is what everybody's forgetting. And J.D. Vance says...
No, they're not forgetting. They're not forgetting.
Yeah.
They're not even aware of it.
They're not even aware of it. I mean, they're all up in arms and say he's a tyrant. And he just, by today's standards, in a bloodless operation, he got Maduro out of Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, people are complaining, oh, his place is socialist. He's just a bus driver. He's an idiot. Well, he came after Hugo Chavez, who stood up to the world Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nationalist, socialist-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who died maybe under strange circumstances. And they did everything to get rid of that guy, sharing oil with the Kennedys for keep people warm in winter and stuff like that. Good program. Mm-hmm. A good man.
Yep.
So it's weird to think that, well, oh, you're going to condemn Maduro as an idiot, a bus driver, corrupt and everything. Well, what happened to him, we don't know. In fact, I don't think information is good on that. Nobody's on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we could suppose that the Israeli intelligence, not necessarily the CIA, by the way, put a lot of pressure on that country and him. They are angry the way that Chavez for them, and they're not letting them get away with that. Nobody gets away with crossing Israel. Nobody.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Stas, the Jews are out to penetrate every government, every country. There's not a place on earth except possibly the North Pole. And even with that, I would bet that there's a Mossad agent in Santa's elves, working in Santa's workshop. So, so the notion that Israel would not try to penetrate Maduro's government, forget it. They are everywhere. Now, listen, I just want to take a sidestep here and go back to very quickly this thing with Minneapolis. How do we know that all of this unrest that is benefiting Netanyahu and that he supports what's going on? How do we know? It's a very simple answer, and I know you'll be able to answer it. How do we know?
Well, because it's all against Donald Trump when he's trying.
No. The proof, folks, the proof is the fact that it's being permitted to go on.
Okay.
If President Trump were Netanyahu's slave, if he were his gopher and his, errand boy and all of the rest of that, then Netanyahu would have his team go into Minneapolis and they would simply take out the heads of all of these protesters. They would just go for the head. That's one thing that Israel does very well, which is decapitation. So the fact that it is being permitted to go on, just as it was permitted to go on in 2020 with all of the Black Lives Matter riots and protests, tells you that, look, this is one of the things we've covered on this program, this use of these undercover agents posing as the native people, that like they have in Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iran, all of these places. They have their people there posing as members of, the indigenous population. They know the customs, they know the language, everything else. And they are used to keep an eye on things and even to cause uprisings and agitations in these countries. So the notion that Israel doesn't have some of their people involved in these protests, no. And if what we are being told, what we have been told now for too long by a lot of these people, that Trump is just Netanyahu's slave, then Netanyahu would make sure that his slave was well taken care of and that none of this would be taking place. All right. Now, Stas, let's take a break for just a minute here. We're going to listen to a very important soundbite, folks. This was the President of the United States meeting at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where he announces the start of his Board of Peace. Let's just give this a listen.
We're committed to ensuring Gaza is demilitarized, properly governed, and beautifully rebuilt. It's going to be a great plan, and that's where the Board of Peace really started. And I think we can spread out to other things as we succeed with Gaza. We're going to be very successful in Gaza. It's going to be a great thing to watch, and we can do other things. We can do numerous other things. Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do, and we'll do it in conjunction with the United Nations. You know, I've always said the United Nations has got tremendous potential, has not used it, but there's tremendous potential in the United Nations, and you have some great people at the United Nations. But so far it hasn't. You know, on the 8 wars that I ended, I never spoke to the United Nations about any of them. And you would think that I should have. You would think they could have done those 8 wars, but they couldn't have. And they tried, I guess, in some of them, but they didn't try hard enough. But there's tremendous potential with the United Nations. And I think the combination of the Board of Peace with the kind of people we have here, coupled with the United Nations, can be, you know, something very, very unique for the world. It's for the world. This isn't United States. This is for the world. As everyone can see today, the first steps toward a brighter day for the Middle East and a much safer future for the world are unfolding right before your very eyes. Together, we are in a position to have an incredible chance. I don't even call it a chance. I think it's going to happen. To end decades of suffering, stop generations of hatred and bloodshed, and forge a beautiful, everlasting, and glorious peace for that region and for the whole region of the world, because I'm calling the world a region. The world is a region. We're going to have peace in the world. And boy, would that be a great legacy for all of us. Everybody in this room is a star, or you wouldn't be here. There's a reason that you're here, and you're all stars. You're the biggest people, the most important people in the world, most powerful people in the world. And when you use that genius that you have, that very unusual, very inspired genius, when you use that for peace, the opposite of peace has no chance. So I just want to say it's tremendous to be with you, and I think this is something that we're doing that's very important. This is the most important. I was so looking forward to being here, and yesterday was a tremendous success. A lot of good things happened, but this was something that I really wanted to be here and do, and I could think of no better place because so many people were together. And now to bring the Board of Peace into full force, I ask Sheikh Issa of Bahrain and Foreign Minister Barita of Morocco to join me in signing and ratifying the Board of Peace Charter. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, folks, so we're just going to very quickly go over some of the bullet points of what the president said at this. Oh, boy, was Netanyahu mad over that. Netanyahu, Ben-Gvir, Smotrich, you could have fried an egg on their head. Anyway, some of the things that the president talked about. He talks about how the Board of Peace, basically, folks, reading between the lines, is going to replace the United Nations. Okay, even though he said we're going to work with the United Nations, he said, you know, they don't get anything done. And that's true, folks. Okay. And Israel has gamed the United Nations from the very beginning. They know exactly what buttons to push in order to get what they want. Okay, for example, Israel pushes for the destruction of Iraq twice, and the United Nations rubber stamps it. But, you know, the United Nations passes these resolutions saying that Israel has to return lands that she stole in 1967, and nothing happens. Okay. So that's the first part, is that what the president is saying is that his Board of Peace, and which, by the way, folks, in case you were not aware of this fact, he remains chairman of the Board of Peace for life. That's that's how it works. And so even if he does not serve a third term as president, he will be managing all of this business of pulling this fuse out of World War III and Armageddon, which the Jews are intent upon seeing to its apocalyptic finale. He's going to be working on this for the rest of his life. Okay, whatever he says. Or I'm sorry, going on to other things he says. Whatever we want, we'll be able to do whatever we want. Okay? He mentions, this is for the world. He says, a brighter day, a safer Middle East, ending decades of bloodshed, everlasting peace, the most important and powerful people in the world. And he says, war will have no chance. Okay? Now, first question I'm going to ask folks, rhetorically, because I don't expect an answer. Why would the president have gone out there in front of the entire freaking world, 8 billion people, and make a speech like this, and yet he is preparing to unleash all of the fire and fury of the U.S. military against Iran? Why would he do that? Why would he step into that, walk through that minefield of talking about peace, 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 and then, you know, a week later he's going to be launching, you know, it's going to be shock and all. It'll be Iraq part two. Why would he do that, folks? Something's going on here that we don't know about and that's not being properly explained by all of these experts, quote-unquote, making up what I now refer to as the Tower of Blabble. Not the Tower of Babel, but the Tower of Blabble, as in blah, 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 blah. The blabosphere. They make no sense. Okay? They talk out of both sides of their mouth. Or, you know, opposite ends of their digestive tracts. I won't get into the gory details of that. Something's going on here, folks. Why would the president do this? Oh, I get it. It's all an act. He's doing this in order to throw off, in order to confuse the Russians, the Ukrainians, and the Iranians, right? No, that's not it, folks. That's not it. The president hates war. It's useless. It's destructive. There's no point in it. He wants to save what's left of this planet so that his children and grandchildren have something for themselves later, okay? Now, I know, folks, there are all sorts of very important and well-credentialed people out there with their podcasts and, you know, millions of views and all of the rest of that, but they're taking you on a ride. Stas, what did you think about the president's remarks launching the Board of Peace?
It is excellent. It's a means to try to bind Netanyahu and his crew of killers down, to pin mm-hmm. them down, because this is always the problem that the world leaders have to deal with. They have all the nightmares that they have to deal with their domestic things, but probably every powerful world leader has to devote most of the energy
to dealing with the Jews. Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
That includes
absolutely
Maduro.
Yeah.
People are very well propagandized here. So if you discuss these world events, they go, well, we've got to get rid of those Ayatollah there, that the women have the scarves on and so forth. Are those people fighting for freedom? When if you look behind the scenes just a little bit, well, why are they destroying mosques and churches over there and doing all that stuff? You know, it's brilliant propaganda, and you know, the interesting one about this time, Mossad has actually said that they're on the ground there, and they have these sentimental social media posts that we are with you, people of Iran, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. emotional strings are so. Donald Trump is trying to save the world of 8 or 9 billion people, but it doesn't matter because this guy's a VA nurse and he was gunned down by ICE.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know, I mean,
but Stas, isn't this all just an act on Trump's part? Doesn't he fully intend to attack Iran? Because if he doesn't, then Netanyahu's going to release all of the Epstein files, and this is going to bring Trump down.
He speaks seven languages, and she's as deep. I mean, you know, that thing, I'm going to go out on a limb here. She's not the brightest bulb, Marian Eielson. She isn't. She's the late widow of this guy. She's loaded. She threw a little money like they all do, and she's not controlling President Trump.
You know what Trump said about her? What? Yeah, you know what he said about her? According to Michael Wolff, the very non-Goyish author, he said that Miriam is one of the most boring and uninteresting people he's ever met in his life. Yeah. And whenever she requests to see him, he just says, "Oh God, do I have to subject myself to this again?" So anyway, listen, Stas, very quickly, unless you had something else you wanted to add, I wanted to read.
Anybody listening to this might get upset by this because they're probably a fan of the Gray Zone. I get it. They have information, Aaron Maté and Max Goldblum, but Marion Adelson, to my mind, from observing things, is a creation of Max Goldblum.
Listen, you're being very, very anti-Semitic. No, you're being very anti-Semitic and engaging in Jew hatred here. You know why? His name isn't Goldblum. It's Blumenthal. See,
oh,
you're mixing up.
I'm sorry.
No, not Goldblum. Okay, you're mixing up your Jewish names. Okay, it's not Goldblatt or Goldblum. I know. They're all the same. I know. Okay, go ahead.
Everybody watching Democracy Now! Came upon this. They're like, what? How dare you? No, actually, they don't get along either. That's how complicated this is. But I don't know. He gives that rap. I mean, am I saying that he's a traitor? I don't know. You have to look at
everything. He's very good. He's very good. He's very good with this information. But there are pieces of the puzzle that he's either leaving out or he's putting them in the wrong place and people are not getting the right idea. It looks like one of Picasso's paintings. You know, you look at one of Picasso's paintings and you can tell, okay, that's an eyeball, that's an eyeball, that's a nose. Even though the nose is at the top of the head and the eyeballs are down by where the chin would be. But nevertheless, Picasso is trying to paint a human being here, okay? And that is the picture that is being presented by these experts working in the Tower of Babel in painting Trump as a warlord. Now, Stas, very quickly here, I want to read a very important article that appeared on probably the most pro-Netanyahu, pro-Greater Israel, pro-war, anti-Arab, anti-Amalek website in Israel, and it is entitled, "For Israel's Sake, Netanyahu Must Reject Trump's Board of Peace and Do Whatever is Necessary in Preventing the Rebuilding of Gaza." Okay, so it goes as thus. Bear with me, folks. Who are the members, potential and otherwise, of Trump's peace board? Pakistan, all capital letters. Does Trump not know that Pakistan has been at war with India for decades over the disputed Kashmir territory? That Pakistan's leadership has been unable and unwilling to reach peace with India? Does Trump not know that Pakistan possesses nuclear weapons? Does Trump not know that Pakistan is openly anti-Semitic and anti-Israel? Nevertheless, Trump considers this rogue state qualified to be part of his peace board. Turkey, all capital letters. Does Trump not know that Erdogan hates Israel and is openly anti-Semitic? Does he not realize that Erdogan would use Gaza as a jumping point to reestablish his quest for a reborn Ottoman Empire? Qatar, all capital letters. Is Trump unaware that Qatar has a history of financially supporting Hamas? Australia, all capital letters. The Australian Prime Minister is openly anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. First of all, my quick commentary on this, folks. Just leave it to an arrogant and obnoxious Jew to ask questions like this. Does the president not know that Pakistan has nuclear weapons? Does he not know that Pakistan has been at war with India for decades? Does he not know that Erdogan hates his... Of course he knows all of this, you obnoxious, overbearing Jew. Of course he knows all of this. Obviously, it doesn't matter. Okay, so our deranged non-Gentile author goes on. This is a dangerous game that Trump is playing, most of all for Israel. And what the devil... Get this, folks. And what the devil is Trump doing inviting the erratic and anti-Semitic Tucker Carlson to meetings in the White House? Well, folks, the reason that I singled that out just now is because those of you who follow what we do here on this humble little informational endeavor will note that I believe it was on the last program. We made note of the fact that Tucker Carlson has made two trips to the White House in the span of just about 8 days. And we theorized that maybe the president summoned him in order to have a little sit down with him and to make sure that Carlson is on the same page, given whatever possible bumpy weather, rough weather may be headed our way, whether it's war in the Middle East, whether it is, you know, things going on here at home. He wanted Carlson to have all of his facts so that when he went and talked to his very considerably large audience, that he was giving them all of the pieces of the puzzle. Okay. Let's see. It is hoped that Netanyahu will not allow soldiers from any of those countries to set foot in Gaza or in any other part of Israel. It is hoped that Netanyahu will put his foot down and say an unequivocal no, all capital letters, to Trump. Gaza is Israel's show, not Trump's. Israel has lost how many brave soldiers? Let's see. He goes on. Therefore, Netanyahu must say to Trump's face, no, this is not the way we handle the situation right on our doorstep. And thanks all the same, Mr. President, but we are going to handle it. It will not be easy for Netanyahu to say no to Trump's face and to make it clear that to Trump that while he can set up whatever committees he wishes, that nevertheless they will not dictate Israel's future. No soldiers of the member countries will set foot in Gaza or in any other part of Israel. The headquarters of the Peace Board will not be set up on Israeli soil. Let's see. If necessary to... Let's see. Hold on, folks. If necessary to ensure Israel's control over its own destiny, Israel should quickly, unilaterally, and formally annex Gaza and assume full political control, and should, while Trump's peace board is busy pontificating, resume military action, and in that same vein should also quickly, formally annex Judea and Samaria and banish the Palestinian Authority administration. Now, folks, the reason for us subjecting you to the tedious and difficult to stomach business of having to listen to this obnoxious Jew and his demands towards the president is to make it clear, okay, as if there hasn't been, you know, mountains and tidal waves and tsunamis of already existing evidence up to this point, going all the way back to 2015, that the Jews don't like Trump's plans for peace. Okay, the speech that he gave at Davos, where he laid out his vision, where he said war will not have a chance. Okay, besides the five-letter word peace, the only other five-letter word that the Jews hate more than that is the word Jesus, followed by the six-letter word Christ. Okay? They love war. Their entire foundation, their identity as a people, just go and read, you know, the pages of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, blah, blah, blah. It's nothing but war and bloodshed. They have to have it. They have to have it the way that vampires have to have blood. It's just as simple as that. I'm sorry to have to engage in what appears to be, you know, a hyperbolic comparison, but that really is what it is. In fact, that wasn't my idea, folks. That was something that was said to me personally by Mordecai Vanunu years ago, where he said, Israel is such an unstable state that they have to have war every 10 years or so in order to hold the country together. Okay. Now, folks, once again, you have the President of the United States going out in front of the entire world and saying, we're going to have peace and we're going to use this board of peace to do it. And we have Netanyahu and his people saying, no, we will not have peace. We will not have this board of peace. We're going to take Gaza. We're going to take the West Bank. We're going to take all the lands that were promised to us according to the teachings of the Torah, meaning the Old Testament. How can, now this is your question, Stas, how can Donald Trump be a slave to Netanyahu and a slave to the Jewish lobby and a slave to Miriam Adelson and at the same time be doing things that Netanyahu and the Jewish lobby and Miriam Adelson don't want him to do? How can it be both opposite things at the same time? Stas.
Well, I can't resist this saying this, but apparently Marion Adelson, President Donald J. Trump's handler, is a much deeper person of compassion and intellectual range than I thought, because she's letting him go forward with this board of peace thing, which is really a great idea for humanity. In the world at large. No, it's exactly, you know what? Actually, I've answered the question with this absurd line. But it's not. I mean, that's what people aren't looking at. Why would he even bother to, well, of course they're going to say, well, he set that up just to fool the Palestinians and the Iranians or whatever. I mean, no, he's doing it.
Why? What does he have to worry about? Why does he have to worry about the Palestinians, the Iranians, and everybody else? Being fooled. What are they going to do? Vote him out of office?
Yeah. I know. It's all absurd. The alternative media
Tower of Babel.
Yeah, basically worse than a person of sound mind just watching the lousy mainstream media and just doing self analysis of it. Basically, that's what we come down to. You know, the guys that, you know, have that looked promising often have now kind of reduced to this Trump is dirty thing pretty much completely now. So I don't know what the guy has to do. Maybe in some sense, it's maybe there's some aspects to it good. It's a cover for Trump. I don't know, but. They should be the ones there for people who took or taken the time to investigate the geopolitics to set people straight, and they're not. They're basically serving at this very moment the Democrats mostly, and they're serving also, and that's pressure on Trump, which serves the warlocks who just want to annihilate Tehran. I mean, this is it. Netanyahu, this is everything Netanyahu has worked for is culminating in the destruction of Tehran and Iran. He has been trying to push the United States north, and he was successful with Iraq, but I think he has always salivated about Iran. I think Iraq was a good...
Yeah, Iraq, it's a stepping stone.
Yeah, he wants this. It's his goal. It's his obsession. Maybe he thinks that his Messiah will come back after the destruction of that or something. But I mean, he's been running the United States for years, basically. In terms
decades.
You know, anybody with a little bit of cynicism and analysis and brains knows that 9/11 is him.
That's his baby. That is his baby.
And in that sense, he's been the nemesis that he may have that day made an enemy of Donald J. Trump, because
Trump
loves. He's a real New Yorker. He loves that. And I think that it's not too much of a stretch to guess that he probably knew soon on who did that in Towers. And his friends.
He knew as soon as his inside friends within the government told him about the five dancing Israelis that were arrested that morning. He knew.
Yes. And even as a guy who knew about buildings, he was talking about it and making statements.
Sure.
And you wisely put a clip of him saying, I believe in an eye for an eye, I believe in retribution.
Yep.
So he... became an adversary, and I'm sure not long after he knew who was really, you know, the prime mover behind it. And so these two guys were destined to be enemies then, and as you wisely pointed out, of which nobody has read the Trump's piece, I think it was early on in the book, in 2017, when Trump turned down Netanyahu and we pressured him for peace, that was the genesis of the COVID-19.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
That
okay, Saz, I've got another article here I want to touch on before we move on to the La Enchilada Grandissima that we'll be talking about tonight, which is the buildup of the military forces in the Middle East. Okay, there's a story that appeared on, let's see, where did it come from? I think it was Jerusalem Post. No, Israel Hayom, which is just as pro-Netanyahu. In fact, this was the website that is owned by Miriam Adelson and was basically gifted to Netanyahu by Sheldon Adelson when he was still alive before he died and went home to hell for the big family reunion. Anyway, the title is Top Israel Officials Frustrated with Trump's Envoy, Steve Witkoff, and His Insistence for Diplomacy with Iran. Okay. Let's see. It's a short article, folks. Let's see. It's kind of okay. In one season of the American television series Homeland, the protagonists Carrie and Saul attempt to convince the newly elected president that Israel is deceiving the administration by claiming that Iran is violating the nuclear agreement. Under this fictional theory for the television program, elements within the administration, particularly in the State Department, treat intelligence coming from Israel with excessive suspicion. At the highest levels in Israel, there are officials who argue that this mindset has, to some extent, been adopted by President Trump's envoys, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. A senior Israeli official confirmed that Witkoff is serving as the intermediary with Iran. Witkoff brought Trump a WhatsApp message from Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, along with a written assurance from President Masoud Pezeshkian in order to persuade the president to postpone any military strikes, the Israeli official said. This may not have been the sole reason for the delay, as preparations for a major operation were not fully complete 2 weeks ago, but it did influence the president's mood. Even now, as intelligence and testimonies from Iranians reach Israel and intelligence agencies in other countries in the region, as well as the U.S. itself, Witkoff continues to push for a diplomatic route to resolve the Iran problem, the senior Israeli official said, expressing clear frustration. Okay, now, Stas, what's wrong with this story? It says here that top Israeli officials are frustrated with the president because his envoys, Witkoff and Kushner, are engaged in diplomacy with Iran, and that this is weakening the chances for American military action. What's wrong with this story compared to some of the stories that we were reading just a week or so ago?
I can't.
You really hate it when I do this. You really hate it when I do this too, don't you?
Because Witkoff didn't get the memo from Marion Adelson. No.
Okay.
right. I know. I get stumped in the quiz questions.
All right.
I mean,
I'll go ahead and do it. I'm sorry. This is what happened. This is why we don't coordinate down to the minutest detail before the program.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
A week ago, 2 weeks ago, folks. Okay. There was this aggressive propaganda push coming out of the Israeli press, talking about how Netanyahu was begging President Trump not to launch any attacks against Iran. Okay? Yeah, that's right, folks. Supposedly, Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been demanding Iran's destruction by the U.S. military for 40 years, The same Benjamin Netanyahu that threatened to use nuclear weapons against Tehran in order to force the president to engage in destroying the nuclear facilities. Supposedly, Benjamin Netanyahu was lobbying the president a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and saying, Mr. President, please don't launch these military attacks against Iran. Now, there's something wrong with this, folks. Now, clearly here we have the story saying that top Israeli officials are very frustrated with the fact that Kushner and Witkoff are busy talking to the Iranians, and that this is making it less likely that the United States is going to attack. So it can't be both ways. It can't be that Netanyahu doesn't want the United States to attack, and yet at the same time, he and the other members of his religious terrorist government are angry at the fact that this attack is looking less and less likely. So obviously, folks, the second, the story here is the accurate one. So why did Netanyahu do this, folks? Why a week or so or 2 weeks ago? Why were all these stories coming out saying that Netanyahu was begging the president not to attack Iran? Well, very simple, folks, because, you know, the Israelis are, you know, they are in an existential crisis here in the United States in terms of their support, especially with the right wing, okay, which generally has given them carte blanche to just mass murder anybody that they decide has to die that day. All right. But now, especially with regards to the whole Charlie Kirk thing, okay, Israel's losing a lot of support. And with people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Nick Fuentes and others who are making people aware of the fact that the Jews are dragging us into these wars that are not in our interest. The last thing that Netanyahu can have at this time is a new war against Iran that he is openly calling for, okay? Because that's just going to solidify this suspicion and opposition that is growing in the United States about Israel having too much influence over our government. So he had to play this not very convincing role of not wanting war against Iran, but now it looks like there won't be war, and they're getting very frustrated. So, folks, why the big armada? Why all of these military assets headed for the Middle East, and all of this talk about a new war with Iran in the aftermath of the president giving this speech at Davos, talking about peace, no more war, and all of the rest of that? Why all of this military hardware headed to the region? Okay. So, we'll give you a theory, folks. Maybe those ships are not there to attack Iran, but they are there to prevent what Israel is planning to do in order to get this war started. Okay, as we talked about on the last program, I think it was, there is no doubt that the Jews have their spies all over Iran. And think about what they did back in June, folks. They deployed drones and all of these other very high-tech, you know, weaponry to use against Iran's air support systems and early warning systems, and they were building these bases 10 years before all of the war started. What are the chances that they have ballistic missiles in Iran, made in Israel, painted up with all sorts of revolutionary slogans written in Farsi and made to appear Iranian so that when one of them goes off, lands on, you know, on an airbase in Iraq or Qatar or something like that, and it's a dud, it doesn't explode. But hey, look at this. Look what it says here. Death to Israel. Death to America. Death to Donald Trump. So It is our contention, folks, we here at this humble little informational endeavor, that the armada that is headed to the Middle East is not there to start a war with Iran. It's to prevent one that Israel is planning to unleash literally any minute. Stas, your thoughts?
I apologize to listeners for glossing over your segment. But let me.
That's fine. Don't worry.
Let me add a teeny thing that I would like to add, that as I learned through you and I've observed, that first of all, the Israeli press hates Steve Witkoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to interject.
Oh, hate him. Hate his guts.
And I'm doing this to support our important thesis, which is really, folks who are listening, an attempt for Tut Editor and I to not get blown up. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's why we're on here. You know, we're obviously not on here to get popular like Taylor Swift here. This is we're not getting any love like that. No, we're on here to not try to get blown. And Witkoff's working at that. And to more disgrace on some of the pundits, they've gone often and saying he's not a real diplomat, and he's this and that, and he's a business. Who cares? I mean, and
yeah.
He's proved positive that Trump is not in the game of doing everything the Israelis want. He went to Netanyahu, who said, never mind the Sabbath. You get over here and talk to me. The guy has been working on it. And, you know, there's no such thing as anti-Semitism. There's no such thing as hatred, really. This guy is trying to do the right thing. And it doesn't always do that. And he's catching hatred from these extremists who unfortunately hold the reins of the state of Israel, which really is technically the most powerful nation on earth because of their range, because their depth and their espionage, you know, basically. They've got the Sinim, the tentacles are everywhere, but that doesn't mean, and this is what people don't understand, that sometimes the Gentiles and their kings fight back and do things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that doesn't mean that every leader is under the thumb of State of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where these crazy things come in. And just we all just got to give up. Putin and Trump, they go to the Wailing Wall. They're under control too. No, it's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that way, and they're trying to go for peace, but is it easy? I mean, I've a lot of my friends have yelled at me. He said he'd have peace in Ukraine in 24 hours. I'm like, well, whatever. He's saying that.
Yeah, whatever. Big deal. Yeah. It's campaign season. Okay.
Yeah.
People say whatever they have to say in order to get the votes.
Netanyahu said his most important thing is the safety and prosperity of the Iranian people.
Yeah, right. Therefore, we can believe it. He said it, yeah, so we have to believe it. We have to believe it.
Stuff like that all the time. He's only bombing them to save them, or whatever he says. And at the same time, you know, and the way these guys gloss over these stories, I must say this every time I'm on here, you know, they glossed over Signalgate. They glossed over this one. They've insulted Hexet without saying, well, why did the guy do this? Of course he was saying a bunch of nonsense, Hexet, but he needs a pretext so these guys can communicate because our entire country is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having to do these things. And, you know, it just dawned on me to what degree do the immigration enforcement security forces are aware of this. I have to assume those guys, at the very least on the street level, know that they're being monitored by them too.
Sure.
And that's why the head of ICE is being referred to as Gestapo and this and that. It's because a certain group of people know that this guy now knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Goyim, the cattle are really becoming more and more forced to be aware of these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as we get closer and closer to the end game, which is civil war over here,
mm-hmm.
destruction of Iran, and you know, and once they're going, then
you know, if anybody listening to us now thinks that, oh no, that was for the best, that there's a regime change in Iran, blah blah blah. Well, you know, then we're going to go off and maybe be forced to bite off things that are too big for us to chew. That because if State of Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu get their way, we'll be facing off against Russia and China, and things like that. You know, which remains to be seen. You know, there are limits to what, even though the United States is the most powerful, what can they do? And blah blah blah. You know, is that the plan all along, to pit these powers against one another so State of Israel becomes number one? That clearly seems to be what's evident. That's the favorite play of pitting all their enemies against each other and go down. That's why there's no Europe anymore and whatnot. You know, after the World War One and Two, you know. So everybody carelessly blaming Trump for this, and yet all he does is try to do peace deals. And still they accuse him of being a sellout, an idiot, a narcissist, doesn't know what he's doing, and really failing to realize that the kind of skills that he's best at are the ones they're most afraid of. That is negotiation, diplomacy, giving everybody a piece of something. And that's not a war pawn. That's not a war king for them. That's not a golem that they want. They don't want a golem that's going to go to other golems and say, hey, maybe you don't want to fight, let's do business.
Yeah. Hey, right.
Let's stop killing everybody in Gaza. Sure. Turn it into casino, condos, whatever. And this is an outrage. Yeah, I know, but it's better than being dead.
Yeah.
Better than being dead, better than being in death camps. And yet that colonel, well, I'm really rambling here, but that colonel that said how much they're suffering in Gaza, there's only 4 food stations and so forth.
Aguilar. Anthony Aguilar.
Aguilar. Well, he's sort of criticizing Trump. Well, Colonel, how will you stop these guys who are murdering these people? You gotta give food to the wolves so they don't eat them. So the other wolves, I'm not talking about the Israelis, but the others involved, you know, that would go there. And we've seen people over here deeply criticize Qatar, and that Trump, you know, I've only heard this from Israelis, Jewish sources, that Trump is, they're careful. I think they're careful about the Qatari connection a little bit, but that, oh, he's getting money for them. Yeah. Great.
No, they're not careful. They're not careful. They are coming right out and saying that they're saying that Qatar is buying the U.S. government, buying influence. They own the media. They own academia. Yeah, they're not careful at all.
American Jews that I know, but yeah, the Israeli press. Yeah, he's in with those dirty sheiks and whatnot. But you know, they're trying to do a good thing, really. At the end of the day, you know.
Listen, Stas.
They're next on the target list too. Sorry.
Yep, that's okay. People listening to this are saying, "All right, obviously you guys support the president. Okay, why is it so important for us as listeners to be subjected to this?" Well, here's what it is, folks. You know, the president didn't just drop out of the sky as president of the United States. And despite the fact that he, in many respects, is indeed the most powerful man in the world, okay, that doesn't mean that he's impervious to outside pressures that could remove him from power. We already saw that happen with the theft of the 2020 election. Okay? Now, it's obvious that the Jews don't like his peace plans, his plans for peace, his plans for, ending this whole apocalyptic dream that they have been planning on for the last 3,000 years. All right. Now, there are two ways to get rid of somebody in a position like the president. You can kill him literally like they did Kennedy, or you can kill him politically, right? You can engineer a collapse of the Congress just cause enough defection so that the control of the House flips from nominally Trump-supportive Republicans to Democrats that hate Trump's guts and will do whatever Netanyahu tells them to do, including bringing up a million articles of impeachment against him. Same thing with the Senate. Okay, I mean, you see that that there were news stories just today being published saying that the Senate is going to hold intense investigations. Senate Republicans, folks, Senate Republicans are going to be holding intense investigations on the killings in Minneapolis with ICE. You know, these are supposed to be Trump's political allies. So you can see that even on something like this, that Netanyahu can put political pressure on Trump, and we're not even getting into the possibility that they would flip the Senate too, so that not only would Trump be impeached in the House, he would be convicted in the Senate. And they can get rid of him. And all of this, you know, the fuel for this machinery of regime change, the fuel for all of this is whatever the political mood in the country happens to be at that time, the prevailing political move. If the president has so much support that it is off the charts, then these people in the House and in the Senate, when Netanyahu sends his thugs and his goons to them and says, hey, listen, you know, this is what you're going to do, they say, hey, forget it. No way. I'm not going up against that tidal wave of support out there that the president has. They'll lynch me. Okay. So how do you get these people in the House and in the Senate to cave? You bring the political mood down, meaning the support for the president, to such a low level that not only do these spineless politicians have nothing to fear by going up against the president, they have everything to gain from it. Okay? So this is why, folks, why we say constantly on this program, you have to be careful about what you say. Okay? Every one of you out there has family members and friends and coworkers and neighbors and, you know, the cashier at the local supermarket, and you engage in political discussions with them. And there's just no telling what kind of influence you will have. Maybe they don't know as much as you do, okay? But maybe they're getting curious. And all it takes is one comment from somebody saying, well, yeah, I know, but, you know, Trump and that Epstein thing, this isn't looking good. Boom. The door is closed. Now this person doesn't want to know anything more about, you know, what a good president Trump actually is. Okay. So, again, folks, as we have said often on this program, the only reason that we continue to have this discussion is because there's just no other way to put it, folks, the tidal wave of stupidity out there. Within this thing known as the alternative media that claims to be trying to make things better for the Palestinians and to make people aware of, you know, the problems of Jewish power in our political system. You know, they screw it up. They in some respects, they bring a bucket of water to this fire, but then they follow up by throwing a bucket of gasoline. Okay. And we just can't do this, folks. We have to get the story straight, because there are lots of people right now who are, you know, their heads are empty. They're hungry for information. So you're either going to fill their heads with information that's going to keep us alive, or you're going to fill their heads with information that is going to assist Benjamin Netanyahu and the rest of these religious arsonists in doing what they plan to do to all of us. Stas, your closing thoughts before we call it a day.
Yes. To get an idea what the president's under, former presidents Obama and Clinton, both very popular, have told that they're urging people to resist.
Mm-hmm.
Resist Trump. I mean, that is why the people did vote for him to deal with the migration immigrant issues. So he's going by that. But also probably ICE and other things are in place because of other groups after him. One interesting thing that I thought of, he was saying they can take them down too. I did notice when Black Lives Matter threw some support behind the Palestinians, all of a sudden a bunch of corrupt Black Lives Matter officials wound up getting exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even cut into things where you think are very sacred, the Jewish people, like the left-wing stuff, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much American Jews like Black Lives Matter. If they get in the way of the real goals, they're gone. They'll go.
Yep.
If it came to be a benefit that they needed to pare down on the anti-fascists, they would. If they got in place a Lindsey Graham type of Republican, they would withdraw support from Antifa, Black Lives Matter, if needed. So now all that's needed, so they're throwing it at Trump. So that's what he's up against. Why would they need to put this kind of muscle on Donald J. Trump if he's fake, if he's an Illuminati, if he's a Zionist Mason Bilderberger? He's not.
Yeah.
He's not. He is what he is. He doesn't want war. And my gut tells me he is as committed to his revenge on Netanyahu in Israel for what happened on 9/11. Those are his friends. That's his city. That's America.
Yep.
Whether we love it or hate it, it's the symbol of America. New York City, that got a taste of what it's like for the Palestinians. They got a taste. Right there in Lower Manhattan, the richest part of the world felt what it's like to be in Gaza, and they got it, and he knows it. And I think that he's not a bad guy, that he wants to stop what's happening in Gaza, and he does not want to obliterate Iran. You know, so there's stories about hypersonic missiles, whatever, that the Iranian people, under the pressure they have, have put together a bold and awesome defense. They haven't fallen to the powers of the United States, decade after decade, pit against them. But the Israelis wanted to go, and what stands, ironically, what stands between them and that is Trump, who a lot of the journalists and stuff seem to hate, and they're just obsessed with these details and stuff, which is just nonsense. You know, is he narcissistic? Is he on? Forget about it, you know. So I really lost respect for them, you know, for these people. Including Chris Hedges, who just goes off. He writes good stuff about God. But right away, Trump is of the capitalist class, and he's in with Netanyahu, and they want to continue, blah, blah, blah. No, he would have did it already. Because, you know, if Trump really was as much as a narcissist, although he's a self-made man, he can go in a room where people hate him, and he can do it. Then he would have basked in the glory of the narcissism by helping the Israelis do what they want and attack Iran. They would have made him, he's already very famous. They would have made him even more famous, and how great he is that that he didn't obliterate Iran. He saved them, whatever they come. So it's just nonsense. It's just, I don't know. But I can't think of anybody right now, you know. Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all that. My thoughts recently have been, they're in the fight or whatever, but they're not sophisticated enough to kind of,
They're not saying, the whole picture in this. And, you know, that sounds bad coming from two guys who are just operating off of open source material. These two have, well, at least Marjorie Taylor Greene did before she resigned, had access to all sorts of classified information, but at least by appearances, they're not seeing the whole picture. And, you know, on the issue of Thomas Massie, I just want to toss one more thing in there. I have no axe to grind against him at all. Philosophically, I agree with him on everything. But in terms of why he would go down this road that he is of pushing the Epstein thing, let's keep in mind that his wife – died suddenly, just without, you know, I mean, talk about an untimely death. He just died, and they had four kids. So, and this was right after he gave the interview with Tucker Carlson, where he was talking about how every member of Congress has an AIPAC handler. You know, he spilled some really smelly beans about this as an insider. And shortly after he gives his interview, his wife drops dead, and they have four kids. So I'm not saying that they got to him, but we have to, you know, when we're dealing with issues like this, we have to ask certain questions. Was he threatened, Mr. Representative Massey? You do this or your kids are going to drop dead in the same way that your wife did. It's just a possibility. And Marjorie Taylor Greene made references as well, saying, you know, I'm not going to be assassinated over all of this, you know, nor my kids. So anyway, that's a topic for another time. Stas, once again, we are indebted to you for your irreplaceable contribution to this important discussion. Hang on there for just a second. I'm going to close out, but I want to talk to you off the air. Okay, folks, so that was the one and only, as I said, irreplaceable Stas. Unfortunately, folks, you're not going to hear too many conversations like you heard today, like you hear every week almost. And that's not just coming from me, folks. This is what I get from many of the listeners. They say the same thing. They say, how is it possible that out of all the noise out there, all of the noise pollution, all of the podcasts, all of the discussions, analysis, whatever, that you're only going to hear this kind of information analysis at one place? I don't know, folks. I wish I had an answer. It's very troubling. It's very discouraging at times. You know, I mean, people should, they should be able to connect the dots on this. And I don't know why they can't. And I'm not saying that we know everything, folks, that we've figured it all out, but I'm pretty sure that the things that we've figured out, we have figured out. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Monday, January the 26th, 2026, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, the Man of Steel. That's it for today, folks. Pray for a miracle, because as we say often, we really, really need it.